in your digital class. Did you do well?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, did I hear people start to clap?
Yes.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Verses from Matthew chapter 18, and it says this: At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" I wonder what they wanted to know, really. It's you, Pete. It's you, my friend. Or it's you, John. Or you, Thomas. Or whatever. But they asked Jesus, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child, this is what Jesus did, he called a little child over to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." It seems to me that Jesus used to answer questions in a way that they didn't really want to hear the answer. He just wanted to hear the answer, "Oh, it's so-and-so's the greatest." But no, he brought a child, put the child in the midst of them and said, "Unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Wow, it is a wow, isn't it? That is bang opposite to what the world operates by. If you take the lowly position, you will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus said. Now, a few weeks ago, Judas spoke about a word that scares everybody and everyone wants to run away from it. It's the P word, it's prayer. But she put it across really well, and some of you have been having conversations with God, yeah, which is really good. I don't believe that we should be afraid of the things that God wants us to do. If he wants us to pray, we should embrace that as a friend. Because it will bless us, it will do us good, it will build us. There's another word that I want to bring to you this morning, and it's another word that people, some people love it, but some people say, "Oh no, I can't be doing with that." And it's the word change. I can't cope with change. I like it is, and I can't cope with change. So I want to look this morning at the importance of change. And I want you, at the end of this, to be able to embrace change like your best friend. Okay? Change is good. The pace of change in the world is scary, isn't it? It is absolutely scary. The way that the world is, I don't know, just moving. The changes that are happening. If you've got a mobile phone, there is more computing power in this than the computers that put men on the moon back in 1960 and whatever. This is more powerful than this can send a man to the moon. Not while it's in my pocket, it can't. The world changes. And I really believe that if we as people, as more important, as we as Christians, as we and we as a church, if we're going to be relevant and authentic to our world, we need to actually embrace change as well. Now, I'm not talking about copying what society does and falling into the standards that are thrown at us. No, no, there are certain things that we hold dear to, but we also need to be people who are willing to change and not think that we can do stuff and be what we've been in the past and expect to get different results to what we've got now. It doesn't work like that. You see, we are people here in this generation with a purpose, and we're here on purpose. We're here in this generation. We really are. This is our time. How do you know it's your time? Who can breathe? Who's alive? Your time. This is your generation. I love that verse in Acts that refers to David, the king. And it says this, that David, when he had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors and his body decayed. He served God in his generation. Tony last week mentioned quite a bit about the Reformation and about a man called Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a man of his generation. He found various truths about justification by faith and not having to earn your way to heaven and stuff like that. And he wrote down all these things about that, and then he took it to a cathedral and he banged it on the door with a nail. And that's what he did, because he was a man of his generation. He wouldn't fit in this generation unless, of course, he... Well, what we do today is we put it on Facebook.
Amen.
Not banged on the wall, on the door of a church or a cathedral. But that's what he did then. He wouldn't fit in now because he doesn't belong to this generation. We belong to this generation. And in this generation, we need to be a people who move ahead and embrace the changes that are there as a real challenge to each one of us. Esther was a lady, and it says of her, she came to the kingdom for such a time as this. It was then. Well, you folks are here right now for such a time as this. In that reading, the disciples, I guess, were acting like normal people, really. They were talking in terms and speaking in terms of status and importance. You see, status is really important to people, isn't it? It really is. If you've got status, I remember talking to a friend of mine who had a company car. Years ago, this was. And I remember this company car, it was the colour of the car was red, but it had black mirrors. Right? When he was promoted, the mirrors on the wing matched the colour of the car. And he got a red car with red mirrors. And everyone knew, if you had black mirrors, you were a little bit stepped down from the fellow that's got the coloured mirrors. You see, status is important to people, and I understand why. Because they get their identity, they get their means of living, and their kind of purpose of being, because they've got identity and they've got status. Now, I want you to know that having an ambition to grow in the kingdom of God, spiritual growth, is not wrong. A desire to do it is really, really good. Timothy was told by Paul, whoever aspires to be an overseer or a leader desires, a noble task. But it seems that perhaps Jesus detected in this question from the disciples that it was a little bit of a kind of a, who is the greatest then? Am I better than him? Is he better than me? So Jesus, settle this once and for all here. Who's the greatest? So he called a little child and stood amongst them. You know, sometimes people in churches, isn't it awful to say this, but they're there to get a bit of status. You know, there are some church leaders who rook people, who rob people, and who live lavish lifestyles and make themselves to be out more than they really are, and give themselves a status that is not theirs. No, he brought a child, and he said, whoever's like this will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. 2 points about children. The thing about children, they can be one thing or another, can't they? Children can be, when they get clever, they can be a right challenge. All the parents can be But there's the innocent side of children as well, isn't there? That straightforwardness, and I think that's what Jesus was referring to. You know, the straightforwardness. And there's a story that I heard that's helped me to remember to be careful what you say in front of your children. And it's a true story. And there was this rather formidable lady. She might have been in a church, but she was a friend or an acquaintance of the parents of this child, and she was formidable. And one day, her little child went up to this formidable lady. Emily, could you best be a formidable lady for a moment? and this child went up to this formidable lady and looked at her like this, and went, like that. And you look like that. And they look like that. And this one said, what do you think you're doing? He said, oh, well, my mum says you've got two faces. You have. I picked you because you know I love you. All right. I know you're tired of that. Innocent. Oh, my mum says she's got two faces. Let's have a dog. Yeah. You have to be there. Bible says we need to be childlike, not childish. And childishness demands behave yourself. Whereas childlikeness is accepting simple, straightforward. And just one other thing, you know that porta cabin that we want to get? Really, the biggest reason we want that is to help to facilitate better work with our kids. Then the moment in there, they're stuck in that room with a great big age range. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. So we want to invest in resources into building our kids, helping them to have a good experience of coming to church, being able to teach them and be an example to them and show them that they matter. So children are important, and Jesus thinks so as well. So he used the child as a picture of how you should be. And he said this: unless you change and become like this, you won't enter the kingdom of God. So look, very briefly this morning, the importance and purpose of change. Change. Firstly, God doesn't change. He doesn't. You know, there's a big word alert coming up now. There's some words about God. Theologians have come up with these big words. No, God is eternal. He has no end. He has no beginning. He is. He just is. He's eternal. That's the great God that we serve. He's omnipresent. That word is used to describe the fact that all of God is everywhere. Isn't that amazing? I don't understand it, but that's who God is. All of God is in this room, but all of God is in the universe. How about that? Omnipresent. He's omniscient. He knows absolutely everything about everything from the beginning to the end and the end to the beginning or whatever it is. He is the eternal. He's omnipotent. Omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He can do everything. And the other one is he's immutable. And that means it means this, that he doesn't change. He's reliable. He is God. Psalm 55 says, God who is enthroned from old, who does not change, who will hear them and humble them because they have no fear of God. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. The trouble is, though, we need to change, don't we? Because we're all on a journey, and we are all in need of adjustment. I like what John shared earlier on about somebody here who feels that, you know, that there's something wrong about the way God's made them, and they need to get close to him and find out how he really feels. You know, you need to change your perspective. The person who's in the shade needs to change their position and get in the sunshine. We need to change, all of us. The word that Jesus used here was, you need to turn and be converted. That's what he was actually saying. And he was emphasizing the need for change in order to be part of the kingdom of God. And really, the first thing and the most important change anyone can ever have in the whole of their life is coming to know Jesus in a personal, powerful way. That's it. That's the bottom line. That is the most important step that will change you for all eternity, by knowing God through faith in Jesus Christ. By having all the past and all the rubbish and all the sin and all the things that you regret and hate about yourself taken away, forgiven, to make you a new creation. And that is the biggest, the most powerful, the most important, the vital change that everyone needs to go through. So then you know God in a personal and powerful way. That's the biggest change. And that's the foundational change. And from there, we can build our lives. Whenever somebody gets involved with Jesus, or to put it properly, whenever Jesus gets involved with somebody, their lives can't fail to change. People had encounters with Jesus, and whether they rejected him or accepted him, their lives changed. They were never the same again. You can't be the same again when you've had an encounter with Jesus. You change. You know, things change through faith in Jesus. Our standing before God changes. We're no longer under judgment, we're under grace. Yeah. He loves us. We belong to him. Have I got the right to get a bit excited about that? Is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, I could have some water with it, ladies, mommy. Our outlook, our priorities, thank you, and our purposes. Our minister's on the bottle. Oh, I thought that was water. Something else knows. Our outlook, our priorities, our purposes, our perspectives. They suddenly take a whole new aspect. Our realisation of our true identity. You know, I know a young lady who never thought people cared about her until she came in touch with Jesus and realised that actually she was important. Different perspective. What a change. What a change. You know, and all that's just a start. These elements of change and the revelations that we have grow and develop as we do life with God. You know, it's not just a case of coming to know Jesus and that's it. You come to know Jesus, then you get to know him better, and he helps you and he steers your life. It's one step at a time so that we change. I don't want to be the same one day as I am in the future. I want to grow and go on and get to know God more. I want to change. I want him to knock off those bits that shouldn't be there. I want him to deal with and challenge the stuff that he's not happy with. And you see, change, although we don't like it, it is actually a sign of life. It's a result of life. If you are alive, you will change. If you're on a journey, the scenery will change. You know, we're not going down to the New Forest. And sometimes when we go out through Tolworth, and the scenery is houses, and more to the point, cars. Until you get out to the A3, and then it gradually thins out, and then the fields start. We're on the same journey, but it changes. And you do most of the journey in the less time, and the shortest bit in the most time. It changes, and we're on a journey, and it changes. You know, fossils don't change because they're dead. You dig them up for however long they've been in there and they're the same. You put them in a cupboard, a week later you look and they're the same. A year later, 10 years later, they're the same. Fossils are dead. You know, we're a people who are called to go and be. And people who are sent are called apostles. We have an apostle. That doesn't mean that we're all the ministry gift and an apostle. But we should be apostolic in that we go. So we need more apostles than fossils. Don't ever forget that. Change should be motivated by more than just dissatisfaction of the way things are. Yeah, I've changed. I have in some ways. Do you know, years ago, on a Sunday, every Sunday, I used to wear a suit and tie. You remember that, Alison? You do, don't you? I was quite dapper, wasn't I, in those days? Yes. But I bet you.
Yeah,
I did, Alison. I'm so pleased you've come along. But seriously, if I turned up in a suit on a Sunday, I would have so much grief. From you lot. Because it's just kind of not appropriate anymore. I wouldn't feel comfortable. I didn't feel comfortable not having a tie on in church at one time, but I've changed now. I've got nothing against tie. Well, I don't like ties. If you want to wear one, that's great. We don't care. And then they asked me, can I come to your church? I said, yes. She said, what's the dress code? I said, wear something. For goodness sake, where do I sit? Well, if it's a seat with nobody else on it, it's yours. You know? There's no dress code in that sense. But I wouldn't feel comfortable now if I kind of, you'd be looking, what's got into it? Something because Alison told him he let himself go, he feels bad about it now. And he's not aware he's soaked. But things have changed. That's not important anymore. You see? And as a church, we need to continue to say, Lord, what are we doing? Where are we going? Is it like, we need to know that God's got a divine purpose for us to reach our world. And we need to do things and change things to make sure we do it.
Right.
We need to have confidence that we've got a life-changing message, that Jesus is alive and he changes lives today.
Yeah.
That doesn't change, but people do when they hear the message of Jesus. And that we can affect every situation and circumstance for good. We can make a difference. And that wonderful film, I'm going to show it every other week, until you're really sick of it. We just wanted to show it to you those two times for those that didn't see it the first time. But it's also in context with what we're doing in our giving and our support in the work here. You see? See, but we are, by the grace of God, making a difference. And it really is by the power of the Holy Spirit, not just by what we do practically, but by the spiritual power that God's invested in us. And we want to see more change. And we may have to do things differently in the future to meet the needs of what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
So we've got to be open to change. So why do we change? Well, we change to be better. But speaking to his disciples, whose whole purpose in following Jesus was this, to change and to become like him. Right? Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion to the day of Jesus. I want you to know that Jesus is in the process of changing you. You've got to let him and work with him. If we rebel against God, it really becomes quite hard work. Really does. If you fight God, he will win. Alright? He is stronger than you. So don't waste your energy. But be confident that he who started the work, he wants to change you and help you to become what he wants you to be. And as his followers, really, more than anything else, we need to be what he wants us to be, not what we want to be. Okay? There's certain things that God wants to change, and certain things he doesn't have to. I don't believe that when somebody comes to Jesus, that he wants to change necessarily your personality. That's who you are. There are loud people, there are quiet people. He might make people a bit more outgoing as they get to know people. But you are who you are. But I tell you what, God does change. He changes our character. There's three things: our personality, kind of who we are, that's it. There's our character, and that's, if you like, what God knows about us. Our character is the real thing that motivates us, and God knows all about that. And nothing is our reputation. That's what people think about us. If we get our character, by the way,
you're okay there.
That's right, I tripped over. Carry on. What God really thinks about us is our character and our reputation. Is what people think. Reputation isn't as important, but character is, and God works by our character. He produces in us fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? As a church and as individuals, we must always be open to change. Why? Because God's a creator, isn't he? And he's always creating. Why would we do things like we've always done them when we serve a creative God who might want us to do things in a more creative way? Not a gimme way, but in a way that he wants us to do it. I tell you, churches today bear very little resemblance to some churches years ago. Some churches are exactly the same as they were years ago, and they really aren't always making a lot of headway. Because we need to change. We need to change. God has a vision for us, which is greater than us, and it's far to make progress. Because if we're here, where we are, because of what we've done in the past, if we just keep doing it, we'll never achieve anything more. Sometimes it's necessary to break with the past. whereas sometimes we can be consumed by it rather than embracing the change that God has for us. So he makes us better, but he also helps us to make things better when we change. What he works in us will enable him to work through us. It's vital for the church to be relevant and authentic and effectively communicate who Jesus is to this needy world. That's why Martin Luther's approach of banging up his message on a door is not as effective as putting on Facebook. Because we're in this generation. And we've got to be authentic, real, people of character who God is working on. And also relevant. Jesus says you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything to be thrown and trapped over. So, examples and the effects of change, just as I finished this morning. God's work at making change can touch every part of our lives, and everything that we do, and every part of our community. Romans 12:2 talks about being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I'm really not doing that. And what Jesus said is, unless you change, unless you turn away from your attitudes, you're never going to enter or see the kingdom of heaven. Okay? So we need to renew our minds, and then that will renew and change the way, the direction of our lives, the journey that he's called us to go. That's called repentance in the Bible. And it's not just a one-off experience. I believe Christians, you need to repent daily of bits and bobs where you're going wrong, yeah? We need to, because we do go wrong. Jesus told his disciples to change and to be like little children. Trouble is, sometimes we choose to live with things that God wants us to change. Have you noticed that? The path of less resistance and greater comfort and convenience can be very tempting to go along. I've always been like this. Thank you. It's a change. Look at that. I've always been like this, and I've always done it this way. Why should I change? I tell you why you should change. Because God wants you to change. It's not about me saying to you, you'll sort out. If you know in your heart, and the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and you know that what you're doing, and what you're saying, and the way you're thinking, Lord, I need a little bit of help with this, as I need to change. Go that way, because you will be blessed and you will be able to make progress. Just two types of change. There's crisis change and there's process change. Crisis change is a turning point. You know, something happens, and it all happens, and that's it, there's a change. One of those moments of change. A man called Saul, in the New Testament, named after the first king of Israel, persecuted Christians until one day he was riding his horse on a road going to Damascus, and the presence of Jesus appeared to him right in front of him. He fell off his horse, he was blinded, and God spoke to him and said, "Why are you persecuting me?" Do you know that crisis, that turning point, changed the pathway of Paul's life for the rest of his life? He changed his name. His name was changed to Paul. He wasn't Saul, named after the king of Israel. He was Paul, which means small. You think you're high and mighty on your horse? Get off your horse. You're small. But you're my servant now, and that is the change. You're going to change. Then, there's another crisis change. And it was this, in Acts chapter 8. Well, first of all, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus told the disciples that you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You are going to do that. You're going to go out and change the world. Well, do you know, in the first seven chapters of the book of Acts, guess where they all were? They're in Jerusalem. They moved. They needed a kind of a boot. And it says in chapter 8 that persecution broke out against the church and it was scattered all over the place. And they began to preach about Jesus and people started believing, and all of a sudden they fulfilled the purpose that Jesus had set them up for, to go and spread the word everywhere. This crisis caused a change. And sometimes we have these crisis moments in our lives that change us. We really do. But I don't think it's good to live and grow and change by relying on the next big event. You know, people go to conferences and get really zapped by Jesus this time, and then it all peters out until the next year when you go, oh, you went to the big crisis. I believe there's a process change that God wants to bring. And it's the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit who lives in the people who love Him and in the churches that want to follow Him. Our walk and relationship with Him. Work out your own salvation, it says, with fear and trembling, because it's God who works in you to fulfill His good purpose. And in 2 Peter, it says, grow. And listen, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. There is a process of growing in grace and knowledge. How do you grow in grace? You come up against a situation that drives you mad, and you handle it well. By the power of the Holy Spirit. That's not a crisis, that's a process. It's how we grow and how we become. We can embrace change with the confidence that God, with the confidence of this, that God is in control and He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. He knows the end from the beginning. Now, part of our vision statement is this, that we want to reach people for Jesus Christ and change our world for good. And in that film that you saw earlier, what was it? Creating community, changing lives. It starts in us. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, thank you so much that you love us so much. In fact, you love us too much to let us stay the way we are. It's a crazy thing, but you love us no matter what we're like. You accept us for who we are, and yet you love us too much to let us stay the way we are, because you are at work in people who put their faith and trust in you. I said earlier on, the biggest, most important challenge that could ever, ever touch your life, and will be something you'd never regret, is this, that you come to an acknowledgement of Jesus forgiving your sin, coming into your life, and giving you a relationship with God. And we have that by faith. We don't deserve it, we don't earn it, we don't become good enough for it, but we reach out in faith and say, Jesus, I receive that gift of your saving me, of giving me a new life, of changing me, of starting that process in me. Do you know, I believe this morning, there could be people here who need to make that step and allow the change that the new life of Jesus can give you to take its place in your life. Now, if, I don't expect you to understand all the ins and outs of it, but if you know that God is speaking to you, if you've got that kind of little, it's like speaking a foreign language if you know that God is speaking to you. What I mean is this, if you know that inside you there's something not at ease and you need to make a step, I believe that's the Holy Spirit giving you a little shove, a little prompt, saying, I want to meet with you in a way that you've never known me before. Now, while our heads are bowed, while we're praying, if you want to receive Jesus in that life-changing way, can you just raise your hand, put it down, and I'm going to talk with you afterwards, and we will pray together. If that's you, can you just do that right now? Anyone here? This isn't a big kind of pressurized self here. It's an opportunity, that's all. But if that's you, if you want to know more about this, we're not trying to trap you into something that you can't get out of. We want to help you start a journey, or at least look at the map. And if that's you, can you just raise your hand out? Thank you. Yeah, anyone else? Just put it down again, that's brilliant. Wonderful. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Now I'm going to carry on and finish because it's time to go, but your opportunity is not over. Lord, I pray. Thank you.
for that one person who didn't respond. Also, I pray, Lord, that we, in our lives, will not be satisfied with where we are now, although we thank you for where we are now, but that, Lord, that we will be people who walk with you, are sensitive to your prompting in our lives, that we as a church will not get stuck in ways, that we won't, in the words of that U2 song, get stuck in a moment that we can't get out of, but that we will be willing to embrace change as a friend, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brilliant. God bless you. And anything else you want to say, Bob? So have a great week. Tonight is Resonate at the Salvation Army. Isn't it great that we can do something with the Salvation Army and bless that place by filling it with God's praise? It is, who doesn't know where it is? Okay, the Salvation Army building, if you go out at the gate and turn right, you're in Green Ride Lane. Go right down there, and before you get to the shops, there is a rather tastefully pink-coloured building on your right. It's bright pink. Well, perhaps it was a red once, but it's pink now. The sun's faded it. But it's down there on the right before you get to the shops and Ride Green, okay?